Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. On June 10th, Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Rolf True struck down California's teacher tenure system, saying it violates the state's constitutional commitment to provide an equal opportunity to achieve a quality education. Vergara v. California was brought by 9 students who said they had received an inferior education in Los Angeles public schools because of bad teachers. Judge True compared the case to the historic desegregation battle of Brown v. Board of Education, saying that the earlier case addressed a, quote, student's fundamental right to equality of the educational experience, and that this case involved applying that principle to the quality of the educational experience. The organization that filed the lawsuit, Students Matter, was created and backed with money from Silicon Valley high-tech millionaire David Welsh. According to Capital and Main News, the organization picked up all of the plaintiff's attorneys and PR fees, a bill that ran nearly $3 million even before the organization's high-profile attorneys set foot in the courtroom. The New York Times reports that Students Matter is considering filing similar lawsuits in New York, Connecticut, Maryland, Oregon, New Mexico, Idaho, and Kansas. So on today's Your Call, we are talking about the ruling in California and its long-term implications. How could axing tenure and seniority change the quality of education in California? What are your thoughts on this ruling? Is it that difficult to hire bad teachers? What does that mean exactly? What is a bad teacher? And then what do we need to know about the organization that bankrolled this case? Today, we are joined by Dr. Kitty Kelly Epstein, an award-winning scholar, activist, and host of Education Today on KPFA. Kitty has taught teachers and grad students and has written extensively on urban education issues. Her latest book is Organizing to Change a City. It describes successful struggles for a more egalitarian education and economic platform in the country. And Kitty joins me in studio. Hi, Kitty. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. We're also joined by Hallie Potter, Policy Associate at the Century Foundation, where she researches public policy solutions to address educational inequality. She's co-author of Diverse Charter Schools: Can Racial and Socioeconomic Integration Promote Better Outcomes for Students? And she joins us from Washington. Hi, Hallie. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you. And Sarah Jaffe is a staff writer at In These Times and co-host of Dissent Magazine's Belabored podcast. Sarah covers education and labor. Hi, Sarah. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So, Sarah, I want to start off with you. The judge's ruling, which declared teacher tenure unconstitutional, has been receiving national attention because it's really going to impact teachers all over the country. And as I said, this group, Students Matter, has plans to file similar lawsuits in many states across the country. First off, give us a little bit of background on this case. How is it conceived?
I mean, I don't have any in into the heads of the people who filed the lawsuit or the, as you mentioned, $3 million that went into funding it, but I imagine that it was conceived exactly as it played out, as an attack on the rights of teachers to some form of due process before they're relieved of their jobs. The thing that's really cynical about it, I think, is this idea of equal access to public education. We know, those of us who live in major cities, I'm here in New York, that there is a huge problem with inequality among and between public schools. I don't really know how relieving teachers of their jobs is going to do that, but it's frightening in that it uses this language that is true, right, that appeals to something that a lot of people very viscerally feel is true, to do something that I don't really see how it's going to help.
Kitty, I mean, the main argument here, and again, this suit was filed by Students Matter on behalf of 9 students, and they said that they are receiving an inferior education in Los Angeles public schools because of bad teachers.
So there are several. This is kind of like No Child Left Behind. People who remember the origins of No Child Left Behind will remember that George Bush rolled it out with the idea that this was going to help poor kids. And actually, we all know that it ended up hurting both kids and teachers because it increased the amount of testing, the amount of money that was spending on testing. It made teaching a less desirable position in a lot of ways. And it certainly made school less comfortable for most kids, especially those who are getting constant test prep. And this is similar. It uses the same kind of imagery for a very false idea and one that ultimately hurts both kids and teachers because it doesn't do anything about the real issues that exist with the teaching force. One is that half the teachers leave teaching before they finished 5 years. And a lot of that has to do with the conditions of teaching, which have been getting steadily worse. Having no job security will certainly attract less people into the field of teaching. It's not extremely well paid. And if you don't have any job security, that makes you even less likely to go into it. So, and then the other big problem is that the lawsuit uses tests as a lot of its measures. And, you know, the history of standardized testing in the United States is that it was born out of the eugenics movement. Lewis Terman, a Stanford professor who was a eugenics advocate, created and used the first standardized test actually in Oakland, California. And it's been doing the same thing ever since, which is to try to show wealthier whites being more intelligent or more knowledgeable than other people. So when you use that type of a measure that hasn't changed that much in these years, you're going to get the results that you created the test to get.
So what did the ruling actually say here?
So the ruling said several things, and one of them is that the tenure law, which protects teachers and grants them something called tenure, is banned, is ended in California. And that is the worst part of it. Now, there are some other features of it which legislatively might be looked at. One of them is the issue of whether people should get tenure in 2 years or 3 years or longer. I think that's worth looking at because actually people need enough time to show that they'll be great. But that ought to be looked at legislatively in a democratic process, not a lawsuit led by somebody who has $3 million to spend on it. So the most important part is the part that rules out tenure, which is essentially a due process requirement. Teachers are not granted employment for life. Plenty of teachers are actually fired, and when districts decide to really look at the performance of somebody who's really not doing a good job, they are let go, and that happens. But teachers are a particularly important part of American society, a voice which a lot of people in the public really appreciate. When you ask people in the public, who do you like best or respect most between legislators and a whole lot of other groups, teachers come out high. So the public needs to stand up for those people they respect so much and say, we want our teachers to be able to have a free and open voice in public policy, and that means letting them have some kind of security in their jobs.
Hallie Potter, what was your reaction to this decision?
I was frustrated because I think it attacks the wrong enemy. I think no doubt these students are not getting an equal education. But in framing attacking teacher tenure as following in the tradition of Brown versus Board of Education, I think the decision is really missing out on the fact that we haven't achieved what Brown set forward in terms of actually having real school integration. And I think the fact that these struggling schools are high poverty is really inextricable from the lack of resources and the disappointing results that you see at those schools. And I think that's because we know that integrated middle-class schools provide better educational options for kids. And it's also a teaching issue because we know that teachers are more likely to want to teach in middle-class schools. And so if we really want to get better teachers into these struggling schools, one of the best things we can do is work to actually integrate them and change the way that we're assigning students to different schools.
Sarah, you report on these issues. What has struck you about how this case and the ruling has been framed in the media?
So a couple of days after this ruling came down, I was in a bodega in my neighborhood in Brooklyn and saw the cover of one of our illustrious tabloids talking about the problems with teacher tenure. Now, in New York last year, because of a contract that was imposed by an arbitrator after the unions and the state could not agree to a teacher evaluation process, they brought in a teacher evaluation process that really almost takes away tenure rights without actually explicitly doing so. It really makes it much, much easier to fire teachers. But the tabloid line is still going to be these teachers have jobs for life and they're molesting children and stuff, which is just like, you know, you see that far more often than it actually happens. And so, you know, there's that line. There's also, though, been a lot of attention in recent years by parents, by public school parents, to the ways in which things like No Child Left Behind, like these attacks on teacher tenure, like even the charter school movement, are failing to live up to their promises. And so I would love to see some actual good polling data that asks people literally what they think about this. I haven't seen anything like that that gives me a real understanding of how much some of these, you know, hyperbolic messages are sinking into people.
Mm. Well, and also, I mean, we're going to talk about Students Matter. We did actually invite Students Matter to join us, and we never heard back from them. This is a group that was created and backed with money from Silicon Valley high-tech millionaire David Welsh. And the New York Times reports that this group is considering filing similar lawsuits in several states across the country. Sarah, can you talk about that? And You know, what is your reading on that and how that's going to be reported?
So, I mean, Students Matter, along with Student First, along with any number of these other groups in this so-called education reform movement, are backed by some people with a lot of money and very serious ideas about how education should be shaped. That goes for Welch, that goes for Sheryl Sandberg and Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, that goes for the Gates Foundation, that goes for any number of hedge funders and whatnot who are investing in charter schools, that goes for our former billionaire New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. It's fascinating to sort of trace the web of this money, where it goes. When Bloomberg is investing a ton of money into Los Angeles school board elections, when Sheryl Sandberg, who lives in California, is investing money into New Jersey school board elections, you see where this is going. It's a little frightening, honestly, to see all this money arrayed on something that has very little proof that it works. And so, yeah, absolutely, I would expect to see more of these lawsuits filed in states where they think they can win. I will also expect to see this decision appealed. I've heard people on your program last Friday criticizing the way the decision was ruled and the sort of holes in the legal ruling, the legal reasoning there. But yeah, I mean, this is, we should make no mistake about it, this is a very well-connected, very well-funded I almost hesitate to use the word movement too much about it, because it's not very many people. It's just a lot of people with a lot of money.
Well, and so I know we have to let you go, but I think this is a really important point, because in all of the stories I've read, David Welsh is simply called a Silicon Valley entrepreneur. There's not that much information about him unless you dig. And there's a great website called California Exposé, and they took a look at David Welsh. He created this group in 2010. They say he has virtually no background in education policy or any direct financial stake in the multi-billion-dollar for-profit education and standardized testing industries. But they did find that the David and Heidi Welch Foundation has given to the New Schools Venture Fund. They've been linked to the $9 billion per year textbook and testing behemoth Pearson. Welch has also supported Michelle Rhee's education privatizing lobby Students First, most recently with a $550,000 bequest in 2010. So before you take off, what else do we need to know about Students Matter? And you know, what's the best way to go about following the money in cases like this?
I mean, there are a lot of people who have done excellent reporting on sort of the philanthropic industrial complex. Joanne Barkin at Dissent Magazine has written some wonderful pieces about this subject, because it is an interesting mix of profits and ideology, right? There is absolutely just an ideological motivation for people who think that school should be run like a business, and that means being able to fire people as quickly as possible, and that your workers should have no labor rights, and that the best way to measure everything is to get more numerical metrics. And that's absolutely ideological as well as profit. But when you look at one of the things that I found interesting about this case is that spending per student in California is down, right? But the same school superintendent who testified that teacher tenure was a problem is also invested in spending a bunch of money to get iPads in school. And what's going to be on those iPads? I imagine specialized educational software, and I don't know who's going to be creating that specialized educational software, but I would love to know. Well, and so that's just one way to sort of track the money in this case. But there are endless ones, and there are a lot of the same names that pop up over and over again.
Right. Well, Sarah, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for your reporting on this. Sarah Jaffe is a staff writer with In These Times. She covers education and labor. And sticking around for the rest of the hour is Hallie Potter, policy associate at the Century Foundation, where she researches public policy solutions to address educational inequality. Dr. Kitty Kelly Epstein is an award-winning scholar, activist, and host of Education Today on KPFA. Her latest book is Organizing to Change a City, which describes successful struggles for more egalitarian education and economic policies. And on today's Your Call, we are talking about the recent ruling that struck down California's teacher tenure system. Judge Rolf True said it violated the state's constitutional commitment to providing an equal opportunity to achieve a quality education. So what do you want to know about this lawsuit? What are your thoughts on this decision? What questions do you have? What do you want to know about Students Matter, the group that funded this suit? We did invite them, but they didn't return our calls. If you're an educator, if you have children in school, if you're concerned about the educational system, we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. What do you think about the way this group went about going after teacher tenure? You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. Again, the phone number is 866-798-8255. So, Kitty, there are a couple things going on here. You've got people who are really concerned about the educational system in California and across the country. And the sort of people think that it is difficult to fire bad teachers. So let's talk about that first, because that's what this case was based on. How difficult is it to fire bad teachers? And what is a bad teacher?
Well, even the complainants in the lawsuit estimate that 1% of teachers are bad. They have no basis for coming to that conclusion, but even by their own testimony, it's 1%. I imagine in most professions, there are 1% or more of the people who are not perfect employees. So the idea that there are many bad teachers to get rid of, unlike other professions, is just ridiculous on the face of it. And then it isn't difficult. If people, I know people who have been let go out of teaching positions who were not diligent enough or patient enough to really work on becoming great teachers. And those people shouldn't be in classrooms. But that is a very, very small proportion of people. And school districts have plenty of ways of evaluating and putting people out. In fact, there's one process that was created called PAR, which I actually have some reservations about, but it's widely used in California and other states, where people are put into a process where they are supposed to improve their teaching, and if they don't, they're pushed hard or gone before a board to be let go. So there are a number of processes that exist in teaching, perhaps more than in other professions because there's been so much attention put to it.
And Hallie, what would you add to that? Three states and the District of Columbia, where you are, have eliminated tenure, but similar efforts have failed elsewhere, including California. And under laws here in California, according to reports, administrators that want to dismiss a teacher they deem incompetent must follow a fairly complicated procedure that typically drags on for months, if not years. So what are your thoughts on the idea that it's really hard to fire bad teachers?
I think there's definitely room for improvement. And one of the things that I think as a bystander who disagrees with the decision, that one of the things that's frustrating is that because California's tenure decision is made so early in a teacher's career, I think there is a lot of evidence that that part of the tenure law should change, that it makes more sense to wait until later. But that's certainly not the case for tenure laws all across the country. And I think that if we think, you know, Kitty brought up the process by which teachers can be fired, thinking about tenure and the due process side of things. You know, it's not a guaranteed job for life. The idea is supposed to be that there's a fair process by which if teachers are not making the standard that they need to, that there's a process to identify that and to have ways to improve. And then if those goals aren't met, then a teacher is fired. So I think that it makes sense to really look at those laws and see what could be done better. But I don't think that abolishing them is the problem. And I think that really, if you look at teacher contracts, where a lot of reform that could be most helpful is to look at collaborative staff management practices. So we know that the most effective schools have processes in place to let teachers and administrators really collaborate and get feedback. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of the best teachers don't want to teach at high-poverty schools is that there's high principal turnover and there's not the sort of collegial support that good teachers are looking for. So I think focusing on those other parts of a teacher contract would be much more constructive.
What do you think?
I really agree with that, particularly that last point. And there are some wonderful examples of people doing things that do help to stabilize the teaching force. So I want to mention one that is in the Bay Area. There's a program called Teach Tomorrow in Oakland, which recruits people specifically from the communities which most need teachers, especially African-American, Latino, and Asian teachers, and actually has them perform the act of teaching before they're even admitted into the program. So people see, because these tests that teachers have to take don't show anything about whether you can work with kids. So they actually have them do a lesson plan before they're admitted to the program, and then they are supported through becoming new teachers, and they are in the schools that have the highest poverty and so on, but they are staying and becoming the teacher leaders. And Teach Tomorrow in Oakland already has pretty much everybody has stayed who's entered the program for 5 years and is now going into their sixth year of teaching. So it's a much better process because it supports people in a cohort with lots of intense relationships with each other and work in the classroom on what they're doing up front before they get down the line and somebody's saying, you're not a very good teacher. And it's recruiting the people who want to be in the African American and Latino communities in Oakland and San Francisco and Hayward, not people who really don't want to be there and are moving out of those communities of their own volition. As soon as they have enough time in the classroom, then they move back to where they came from and, you know, Walnut Creek or wherever. Mm. And Walnut Creek needs good teachers, too. But you need to recruit people who actually want to be in urban communities before they start their teaching.
We're going to go to break soon. But before we do, Kitty, what do you think this lawsuit was really about, ultimately?
I think it's about power and politics. I don't think it has anything to do with teacher tenure. One more important fact about teachers is they are an organized group in unions, which are basically generally progressive, not just on education issues, but on taxation policy, health care, and a number of other issues, which the right in this country is not favorable to. So I think being able to decimate the power of teachers' unions is not good for any of us. And that doesn't mean that I agree with every single thing they do. But I think for the most part, I want them there in the legislature fighting all those billionaires who now have no restriction put on the amount of money that they can put into campaigns. And it's another reason I think the public needs to stand up against this law decision. We need the teachers organized in order to promote any of the progressive causes that we care about in this country.
And Hallie, if 30 seconds before we go to break, what do you think this lawsuit was ultimately about?
I agree that I think it's political, but I do think that there are some people who have good motives on the other side. They just think that teachers are an easy target, and surely that if we fix that, we fix education. But I really think we just need to look broader at structural issues, at segregation, and at poverty.
And Rob just emailed, and you addressed this question, Kitty and Hallie, is this part of an effort to break teachers' unions, which tend not to be conservative? As your guests have pointed out, the more money spent per student, the better the education received. Jim Finberg, a lawyer for both major California teachers' unions, said he wasn't worried by the ruling. He said the case is all about, quote, busting the teachers' union, not supporting children. So what do you think? What are your thoughts about this teacher tenure lawsuit and the ruling? The decision will not take effect while the Teachers Association mounts an appeal, and the judge will make a final judgment within about 30 days. And so what are your thoughts on this? If you work in education, if you're a teacher, if you think things need to be reformed, where do you stand on this issue? We'll be back after this.
Call on Local Public Radio KALW. You can join today's conversation by calling 866-798-8255. Toll free 866-798-TALK. Or you can post your question or comment at yourcallradio.org. You can send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org.
Coming up in 30 minutes, World Have Your Say from the BBC, and once again, whether or not to intervene militarily in Iraq is a big issue for politicians from Washington to Tehran. Also in the next hour, a roundup of the latest news from the streets of Brazil and the World Cup.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will talk about some of the Supreme Court decisions that have been handed down so far. They affect the ability to lie in political ads, buy a gun while lying to the dealer about who the gun is for, and sue corporations for toxic chemical contamination. We are still waiting for decisions affecting the birth control mandate in the Affordable Care Act, cell phone searches, and greenhouse gases. So what do you want to know about the decisions handed down so far? That's tomorrow. On Thursday, we will talk about rape and sexual assault on college campuses. How are colleges dealing with this, and how should they? That's Thursday. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about teacher tenure. On June 10th, Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Rolf True struck down California's teacher tenure system, saying it violates the state's constitutional commitment to provide an equal opportunity to achieve a quality education. The lawsuit was filed by Students Matter on behalf of 9 kids who said they received an inferior education in L.A. public schools because of bad teachers. According to Capital and Maine News, the organization Students Matter picked up all of the plaintiffs' attorneys and PR fees, a bill that ran nearly $3 million even before the organization's attorneys set foot in the courtroom. Students Matter was created and backed with money from Silicon Valley high-tech millionaire David Welsh. We did reach out to Students Matter, but they didn't return our phone calls. We're talking about the lawsuit, teacher tenure lawsuit, and what this means for the rest of the country, because Students Matter plans to file this state by state across the country. We're joined by Dr. Kitty Kelly Epstein, an award-winning scholar, activist, and host of Education Today on KPFA. She has taught teachers and grad students and has written extensively on urban education issues. Her latest book is Organizing to Change a City. It describes successful struggles for more egalitarian education and economic policies. Hallie Potter is policy associate at the Century Foundation, where she focuses on public policy solutions to address educational inequality. She's co-author of Diverse Charter Schools: Can Racial and Socioeconomic Integration Promote Better Outcomes for Students? And we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Catherine in Santa Cruz. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much. I was a career public school nurse in California schools and in Los Angeles and Los Angeles County, both the city and the county, for 21 years. Tenure is a process by which teachers can be fired. That's what tenure is. And the idea of a business model for teachers would be horrifying for children. Teachers must cooperate with one another, mentor one another, and share with one another in order to provide the best possible education and meet the needs of the children. Three, the last thing, I see this as furthering the attempts of those who see children only as future cogs in corporate wheels and consumers and are willing to harm children for profit.
So Catherine, given your experience, what do you think people who care about these issues should do in response?
I think they should educate themselves about what tenure is, get involved with their school boards, their local school boards. I think they should be very involved in furthering the goals of public education in the best interests of children in a humanistic way.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. We're going to take a few more calls because we've got full lines, and then we'll get responses. Thank you, Catherine. Let's go next to Nancy in Berkeley. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I taught school. Actually, I taught special ed in California schools, San Bruno and Alameda, in the 60s and 70s. I also substituted for the Oakland Public Schools and and home taught, and did some substitute teaching in private schools. And I am appalled at this ruling. It's, to me, it's just another way of trying to get rid of the teachers' union and denigrate teachers again. Teachers are always being scapegoated for the problems of other things. And when I taught, I did see some terrible teachers. I saw some horrific administrators. I think a lot of it has to do with administrators and top-heavy administrators in the schools. And I do have some horror stories. But I have horror stories from my own education in Chicago in the 40s and 50s. So, you know, there has been a problem with bad teachers, and I think that it is a problem getting rid of them, but I don't think getting rid of tenure is the answer to the problem. I think that teachers need to get a lot more money. I think that teaching needs to be shown as a wonderful profession so we get a lot of, you know, young people coming out of schools of education wanting to teach. I think something needs to be done about schools of education. I think it's, you know, it's a huge, many-layered problem, but, you know, getting rid of tenure is the least of the problems. And I'm hoping that the Supreme Court will, you know, see the error of the other court ways and overturn this decision.
Thank you so much for calling in, Nancy. Again, Student Matters does plan to file similar lawsuits state by state across the country, and a lot of observers say that ultimately this will go to the Supreme Court. So thanks for calling in. Let's go next to Eric in Santa Cruz. Hi, Eric.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The last caller sort of typified why I'm calling. I think people have a misunderstanding of how our court system works. This is a superior court, which isn't superior. It's actually the lowest civil court in our system in California. The ruling has no precedential value. It doesn't even have precedential value within the county. It only applies to the plaintiffs. I understand the plaintiffs encompass certain school districts, so it's larger than just one or two people. But, you know, where the last caller said, I hope the Supreme Court strikes it down. Before it goes to the Supreme Court, it would have to go to a California appellate court, and then, you know, the California Supreme Court. And, I mean, I don't even know if there would be grounds in the U.S. Supreme Court. So I really don't understand what all the hullabaloo is. You know, you can say it's a terrible ruling, and that might be true, but it's. I think people are making it seem like it's a much broader, it's going to affect a much broader swath of the country. It only applies to the, you know, where it was found in those schools in Los Angeles County or whatever county down south it was.
Okay, well, thanks, Eric. Kitty, what about that? What do you think?
So, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a teacher. I'm an educator or professor. But I believe that it has broader ramifications. And one of the things that you have asked is what people should do about this. And one of the main actions that needs to happen is that the state officials need to stand up for the laws which are part of the laws of the state, and they are obliged to do that. It's not just the teachers' union that has a stake. The state of California legislature passed these laws, and the attorney general and the governor are supposed to defend them. But I understand this morning that they're kind of waffling about whether they want to defend them or not. So I have two thoughts about what people need to do. One is to get on Jerry Brown, who people feel has done a, you know, slightly better job, and tell him it's not a better job not to defend the laws of the state. And teacher tenure is a law of the state, and they need to get on board. I assume they will, but these little rumblings I heard this morning were a little disturbing. And then the other thing is for community people to get with the teachers' unions. Many of the teachers' unions now have really dynamic new progressive leadership in Chicago and Los Angeles in particular, who want to get together with the community, who want to have collaborations and work for community benefit as well as teacher benefit. Alex Caputo-Pearl in Los Angeles and Karen Lewis in Chicago in particular. People should get with the teachers' unions and work out relationships that are of great benefit to both kids and teachers.
So far, Jerry Brown has declined to comment on the ruling.
Yes.
Right?
Right. But there was a quote, I think it might have been from Tom Torlakson, who has, you know, been considered a very liberal state superintendent, and we're all going to be sorry we got him back if he doesn't come out and do something about this.
Well, so the Washington Post has a piece today called "With California Tenure Ruling, a Democratic Divide." According to the Post, Tom Torlakson, a Democrat, former legislator with a strong union backing, who was named as a defendant in the Vergara case along with Brown, said after the ruling that, quote, teachers are not the problem in our schools, they are the solution.
Okay, so I hope that remains their position, and the rumblings I heard in other sources are untrue. We'll watch and see.
Well, and so the lead says that, so Education Secretary Arnie Duncan,
yes,
came out in support of the ruling along with Representative George Miller, Democrat of California. And so you've got a lot of divisions here within the Democratic Party.
So I think on the national level, this has been a disastrous Democratic administration, and the Democrats have come more and more to resemble the Republicans on the issue of many different education issues. And that's something that people in the Democratic Party are going to have to do something about. I think that they are following the money. You know, they need that Silicon Valley money to run their campaigns, too. But they can't leave the rest of us out to dry because they need the money from the billionaires who want to run education.
Hallie, what's your read on this? What are your thoughts on how the Democrats have come down on this decision?
Well, I have some sympathy for the education reform movement because I think, you know, even with all the awful stuff that came out of No Child Left Behind, that idea of really focusing on subgroups of students and tracking progress for all students, and particularly looking at groups of most disadvantaged students, I think that that's the right idea. I don't think implementation is right. And I think the same thing, you know, I think some of the motives of wanting to be able to fire bad teachers come from the right place of really wanting to shift attention towards education. And I think the fact that education really has made a lot of national headlines lately is, you know, it's positive at least that I think it's a conversation that people are having. I think that the mistake there is misidentifying the problem and solution. You know, we have tried just replacing the adults in a school. We've tried just putting in new teachers and just putting in new principals. And that sort of school turnaround effort really hasn't been successful. You know, I think we know many of the things that work. We know that integrated schools work. We know that having strong collaboration in the school works. The problem is those aren't something that a simple one-step policy solution can create. It requires a network of policies that support each other, and it requires, you know, making some decisions that are going to be politically unpopular. Integrating schools requires affluent areas sometimes, to change the way that boundaries are drawn and to no longer have this huge advantage of resources over other schools. So I think it's really avoiding some of the more difficult politics and trying to pick what seems like an easy target but isn't actually the source of the problem.
That is Hallie Potter, policy associate at the Century Foundation, where she researches public policy solutions to address educational inequality. We are also joined by Dr. Kitty Kelly Epstein, an award-winning scholar, activist, and host of Education Today on KPFA. And today we're talking about the recent teacher tenure decision. A Los Angeles Superior Court judge struck down teacher tenure in California, saying it violates the state's constitutional commitment to provide an equal opportunity to achieve a quality education. What do you want to know about this decision? What are your thoughts on it? What do you think of teacher tenure? The organization that filed the lawsuit, Students Matter, did it on behalf of 9 students. The Students Matter organization was created and backed with money from Silicon Valley high-tech millionaire David Welsh. We did invite Students Matter, but we didn't hear back from them. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. We've got 2 comments on the website. Faye writes, one of the arguments cited by the judge was that only in teaching bad workers are protected. That made me gag. From corporate America to nonprofits, bad workers and managers exist for a multitude of reasons, and denying such is simply a pack of lies. Remember the economic meltdown of 2008 and the CEOs who were rewarded with millions in bonuses when they presided over and encouraged the most devastating economy since 1929. The judge has a hidden agenda. Pontificate writes, beginning teachers need fewer classes, more on-the-job training, and evaluations by people experienced in their discipline. No teacher training in college can prepare you for what you face on the job. Kitty, do you have anything to say about the judge? Do you think we'd have a similar ruling in Northern California?
I don't know. It seems unlikely to me, but I don't know. There's so much confusion around what really makes good education. And one of the most important aspects that hasn't been mentioned thus far is that the test scores, which the judge is fond of quoting, actually mirror the racial wealth gap perfectly. So the best predictor of a student's test score is the gross family income, net assets of their family. That's what predicts people's test scores. Now, that's a statistical measure, so you can find kids from very poor families who have great test scores and vice versa. But the fact is, socially, that's what predicts the test scores and the huge gap. So the most important thing to do is to have some taxation policy that takes some of that money away from those billionaires. Then they wouldn't be able to mess with education policy, and we'd also have enough money around the country so that the kids would have an income in their family that would predict better test scores. So this is a really important issue. People really need to look at it. That's what determines test scores overall statistically.
And I also just realized that Eric in Santa Cruz, I wanted to address your question more. Hallie, what are your thoughts on Eric's opinion that this decision is not really a big deal because it only applies to the plaintiffs, the students in Southern California?
Well, I think no matter what, it's important politically, and you can tell that by the media coverage that it had gotten. You know, legally, that's a separate question and a question for a lawyer, and I'm not one. But politically, you know, we know that it's part of this general trend of attacking unions and trying to place teachers as the problem of what's wrong with education, and I think that's why it's gotten so much media coverage. And I think that's where the real threat is. And, you know, regardless of what happens to this court, to this case as it works its way through appeals, the fact that Students Matter has made a commitment to bringing this case in states across the country, that matters too. You know, even if the decision is going to be based on an individual case in each point, that's a huge amount of resources going, and you have to imagine that that could also have a chilling effect on states and districts as they're thinking about their policies, knowing that teacher tenure may continue to be under attack.
All right. Well, thank you again for the call, and thanks for the comments on the website. Let's go next to Mary in Monterey. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. You know, I wanted to say on this subject that, you know, I've always been somebody who has been there for teachers, who has been a person to volunteer in the classroom or help out or what can I get you, what can I do for you. And I know that that's very valuable to have parents in the classroom. But I have to say that on this particular issue, first of all, education is just broken. It's a mess. It's like it needs to be just completely thrown out and start from scratch. Only where do you start? This is a vulnerable area that has been found. I'm not one to back millionaires. No way. And that whole bit on Wall Street and not being punished, absolutely true. But this is a vulnerable spot. And generally, parents have been out there supportive of teachers. But when you see so many kids dropping out, and you see that it's all a big money-grabbing industry between contractors who solicit and get contracts with the educational system and the teachers who stick up for the teachers. When it comes right down to it, the teachers are going to stick up for the teachers. So if there's one bad apple, then the rest of the teachers stick up for that darn teacher that needs to go, and you can't get rid of them, just like you can't get rid of gum stuck underneath a table. You get rid of one and there's another. And you know, when there's one bad teacher, makes the whole lot stink. And when the union themselves are complicit on hanging on to teachers who are not doing their jobs, and you know that they themselves put themselves out there vulnerable by always thinking of their own bottom line. I've seen and I've heard teachers say, well, you know, don't worry about that. It's going to take care of themselves, because you know that by the time these kids reach sophomore year, they're just going to drop out. And they don't hire new teachers coming into the school because they're waiting to see how many of them are not going to come out. And
Mary, let me get a response from Kitty and Hallie. First, Kitty?
Teachers have, as a union, every union has an obligation to represent its members. So teachers' unions do also. But that doesn't mean nobody gets fired any more than it does in any other unionized employment. And I think that teachers in a school that creates the kind of collaborative atmosphere that Holly and some and your other guest mentioned, teachers push other teachers to be good, to be better, to feel uncomfortable if they're not doing their job. I've worked in schools where people left because they weren't doing a good enough job to satisfy the collective community that met often, collaborated with each other, and wanted hard work for kids. So it's the creation of that kind of atmosphere, and also the support of teachers as they get into the teaching field, watching people to see if they actually should be in teaching before they get into a credential program. It's those measures that produce better teachers, not ending unions.
And what are your thoughts on that, Hallie?
You know, my colleague Greg Ehrenreich has made a lot of good parallels between the healthcare industry and education, and the way that insights about collaboration in both have really shown to provide better outcomes. And I think that there's also this parallel. Imagine teachers, like doctors, are in an industry where their success really depends on the success of their colleagues. And so I think teachers in school, I know when I was teaching, it was hugely important that your other colleagues were doing a good job of preparing the students that you're going to get next year, or, you know, doing a good job of teaching them math when you're teaching them English. It makes your job harder if you're surrounded by colleagues who are not meeting the goals for their students. So I think that, you know, there is a real incentive for individual teachers to make sure that their fellow teachers have the support they need to improve and to do their best. And also when there is someone who really is not responding to feedback that they need to do better, to get rid of that teacher. So I don't think that teachers are the enemy here, holding on to colleagues who are not meeting the par. I think the one time when you may see a dynamic like that is when management at the school is so broken that the teachers really just fear for their own jobs. I think as long as you have a sense of trust and collaboration among the management, administrators, and teachers, there's a sense that we're all in this together. We want to do what's best for the kids, and that means giving teachers support. And when that support, after several attempts, you know, is not able to improve things, then we want to get rid of the bad teachers.
All right. Well, thank you again for the phone call. Let's go next. We've got time for one more call. Josh and Salinas. Hi, Josh. Oh, Josh? Bad line. I just want to spend like one more minute on this because we're almost out of time. We've got a couple emails from educators against teacher tenure. An educational psychologist says that she's been working in California for 20 years. She's observed students. She's seen dozens of teachers who've got dirty, dreary classrooms, who lack even a basic understanding of how to teach. The kids shut down, and then they're blamed and pathologized. So she says, it's hard to say this, but I oppose tenure because of what I've seen. So what would you say to that, Kitty?
I would just say that that's the answer. Tenure doesn't have anything to do with that. The first thing is, who goes into teaching? Do we have a representative teaching force ethnically and geographically? Are people looked at in their ability to work with kids before they get into the field and before they get a credential? And then is there the kind of collaborative support within the school to teach people whatever they didn't get up front? But first, people need to get the benefit of becoming really excellent teachers as they are going into the classroom, not having people pass through, get tenure, and then be able to stay. And of course, at that point, they need to be pushed out. But we need to not get to that point.
Students Matter plans to file similar lawsuits state by state. So what are your final thoughts on this, Hallie? I mean, the decision has come down. I understand that the judge is going to make a final judgment in about 30 days. The decision won't take effect while the Teachers Association mounts an appeal. We've got a couple emails saying, you know, what can parents do? What can those of us who care about education do about this? Hallie?
Well, I think one thing is for parents and teachers and principals and district administrators to really just speak out in support of teachers and speak out in support of the fact that they have good teachers and they're grateful for all of the things that they have done. And I do also think that there is a place for districts to proactively look at their tenure strategies and think about if there are ways to make those more robust. So, you know, a peer evaluation is a great example of something that can help teachers improve by having master teachers who come and observe and provide feedback. It can also be a tool that's used to help fire ineffective teachers. So, you know, as we've, I think, reiterated here, tenure is about setting up a fair process to fire teachers if they're not meeting those goals and to have a process to help support them to meet those goals. And so I think one positive thing that could come out of this is districts taking the opportunity to see if there are ways that they could improve that system.
And Kitty, final thoughts?
Yes, and I think people need to get political and point out the political aspects of this, that it has two political aspects. One is the possibility of enriching a lot of people by using buying their gadgets instead of paying teacher salaries, and the other is the reduction of the power of people like teachers who have a generally often more progressive and humane look at what society should be like.
Dr. Kitty Kelly Epstein is an award-winning scholar, activist, and host of Education Today on KPFA. Her latest book is Organizing to Change a City. Hallie Potter is policy associate at the Century Foundation. She's co-author of Diverse Charter Schools: Can Racial and Socioeconomic Integration Promote Better Outcomes for Students? Kitty and Hallie, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. What do you want to know about the Supreme Court decisions that have been handed down so far? On the next Your Call, we'll talk about decisions affecting the ability to lie in political ads, buy a gun while lying to the dealer about who the gun is for, and sue corporations for toxic chemical contamination. We're still waiting for decisions affecting the birth control mandate and the Affordable Care Act and greenhouse gases. What do you want to know about these cases? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Raz is on and Ali Budner produced the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.